Hallelujah. Go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians 12. Anyway, we've been teaching in this season on the gifts of the Spirit, and not just for knowledge's sake. It's because we are coming into revival. How many believes that? I believe the first level of the supernatural part of this revival, God is equipping the saints with all of His gifts of the Spirit again. And I remember a saint of God, a minister that I consider a father many years ago, somebody was asking him to come and pray that his church would operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, come pray for the gifts, that they'd be manifest in our church. He said, well, there's no point coming to pray that. That's not how you get the gifts manifested in your church. Well, how do you get them? How do you get them manifested? You teach on them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want the gifts, you got to preach it. The people have to receive it, and they have to act on it. And then you'll have the working of the miracles and all the gifts of the Spirit in your church. And the gifts of the Spirit, this is a real, okay, I'm not looking at anybody now. The gifts of the Spirit are available for the carnalest of Christians. What church in the New Testament are we told is carnal, split, divided, little babies? It's the Corinthian church. But it's in the, and where do we find the most information about the gifts of the Spirit? It's in the letter to them, and in the first letter to them. The one that Paul plainly said, I'd like to give you meat, but I can't. I can only give you milk. What's sad is that that means that the gifts of the Spirit, in Paul's point of view, is milk for babies. Makes you wonder where the church at large is, you know. If this is milk, what are they being fed? Umbilical? Water? I don't know. But we've been going through this for several weeks, and I'm not possibly going to be able to review everything that's been said. I highly recommend that you get these messages that's been coming forward. Wednesday night, the Lord's, we call that one the gifts by precept and example. And the Lord not only had us teach on each of the gifts and what He has taught us about them, but He had me give examples from mine and Sue's own life about how He has used us in the gifts. Now, anybody that hangs with Sue and I, you hang around us anytime at all, you're going to find out real quick. It's not because of our own holiness. It's not because of who we are. We are as normal as they come. We may be even a little bit below average of normal. What I'm saying is, if God can use us, just this is a good confession. If God can use Gary and Sue, well, He can most certainly use me. And that is the truth. Now, that is the truth right there, see? So, even before I read these again, this prophecy came forward while, or tongues and interpretation, which is equal to prophecy, came forward at the conference up in Ohio this year. And what's happening now, again, it's not that our minds are not renewed. 1 Corinthians 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you get to thinking about that, our minds are pretty renewed. You've been sitting under the Word for a long time, and I know this body, everybody listening here, and also by internet or however you're listening, I know you're pretty renewed. You don't think about sin the way the world does. You don't think about partying and reveling and all of those. You don't think about the same way the world does. You don't think about abortion the same way the world does. You don't think about most things the way the world does. And so, you know, to a certain extent, we are renewed. But then in this season, especially after, let me read this word that came forward in Ohio. I'll tell you, He's wanting to renew us at a little higher level. So here's the word that came in Ohio. It says, mysteries hidden, mysteries from the foundation of the world, brought forward this day by my Spirit in this hour and this generation, to purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they have been taught from pulpits. Whoa. With good intentions by men that loved me, But deceived by religion, deceived by education, deceived by the ways of this world, and not taught by my Spirit. Come up higher, my children. Come up higher and let my Spirit teach you the things of the realm that you are really from. And then to kind of cement that in my mind, he began asking me questions along this line. Again, I know this is review, but that's what teachers do. I'm sorry. If you want a pastor, get Dave up here. I'm a teacher. I can't help it. So he started asking me questions along this line. He's going, and again, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit. This is kind of, no, I really wasn't doing this, but I'm need to renew our mind. For those that can't see me, I'm standing here with my hands on my hip, a little cocky. Pretty renewed. Yep. I go to the prayer center. Pastor Dave Roberson is my pastor. I pray in tongues. I got revelation knowledge. Yes, sir. Pretty renewed. And then he asked me a question. Well, if it would have been your mother at the wedding feast of Cana, and she had turned to you and said, they're out of wine, do something about it, what would your first thought have been? You can't say this in church, but I'm going to anyway. My first thought would have been, where is the nearest liquor store? Or where is a winery or something? Where are we going to go get wine? Because my mind thinks, it's not been renewed to think from that realm. I still think a lot from this realm. What about feeding the 5,000? The disciples came and 5,000 men plus women and children, probably 10 or 15,000. The disciples come and they say, look, they've been with us 3 days out in the wilderness. They're getting hungry. Don't you think that's a pretty good assessment? I bet they were. He says, we need to go into town and buy victuals. We don't use that. So we need to go get groceries. We need to go get food. Gary, what would your first thought have been? I'd have been reaching for my wallet and going, you going down to the Quick Trip, are you? Would you get me a ham sandwich? Wouldn't have been ham then. Chicken. Me a chicken. I most certainly would not have thought, there's a little boy over there with a lunch. Or Jesus said, well, what do we have? And I said, well, here's a little boy with a lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I have to do this. Some of you weren't here. I have actually heard with my own ears on TV great theologians with PhDs behind their name say, well, the reason they could feed that many people with 5 loaves, the loaves in those days were a lot bigger. With my own ears, I heard it. TV. Come on, it's a little boy's lunch. It's fish and chips here. Their version, you know. Biscuits and fish, okay? Loaves and fishes. So if that's not small enough, a little boy's lunch. Now Jesus brings the 12. You take that lunch, it probably wasn't very big. And you divide it 12 times. He said, sit all the people down by 50s. Here you go. Rows and rows of 50s. And you're one of the 12. And Jesus takes that little boy's lunch, looks to heaven, blesses and breaks. And you've got 1/12 of a little boy's lunch in your little basket. And Jesus says, that's your 50 right there. Start with that 50 right there. See, and it would be one level of miracle if Jesus had walked through the crowds and we watched it multiply in his hands. We would think, you know, what's one level? We would think, yeah, but that's Jesus. But it didn't multiply like that. It multiplied in Peter's hands. It multiplied in John's hands. It multiplied in their hands. And when they got through, now they started each with 1/12 of a little boy's lunch. But when everybody ate, and it says to the full, after they ate to the full, some of them might have had seconds and thirds, fifths, to the full. And it said they gathered up the fragments that remained. Now they started with 1/12, but each of them ended up with a basket full. And we're worried about our credit card bill with a provider like that. Okay, I'm sorry. God. He's trying to get across to me, your mind, Gary. Pat, pat, pat. He loves me. Pat, pat. Your mind, Mike, could use a little more renewing concerning the things of the realm that you're really from. Because, see, the spirit part of us, the part of it that is God's child, is not from this planet. You're not from this world at all. That life, the real child of God, I'm not talking about your brain. I'm not talking about your memories. I'm not talking about your soul. I'm not talking about your emotions. I'm talking about the real you. God is a spirit and so are you. The real you is from that same realm where God lives. God sent a teacher for us from that realm. Well, first he sent his word. We've got, just this written word of God alone is such a miracle. These thoughts did not originate in this world. These are the thoughts and purposes and intents of God. Supernaturally, he got his thoughts from that realm where he lives, where we can hold it in our little flesh hands. Read it with our little flesh eyes. You know? That's a miracle in itself. But as if that's not enough, then he sends us a teacher. And this teacher has a fabulous ability. See, my teachers had a real problem in school. They had to deal with Gary's earth head. What do you mean by earth head? The natural mind. The natural Gary. Gary's natural mind wanders. I know yours doesn't. Mine, you know, the teacher thinks I'm looking right at her. Teacher thinks I'm listening. I'm already playing ball with my friends. I'm fixing my bicycle after school. I'm whatever. She thinks I'm listening. I'm not even there. You know? God says, I'm not going to put up with earth head anymore. I'm going to make a way where my teacher, this teacher I'm sending, can teach directly to my child. And we're going to go around Earthhead. Did you know that's what praying in other tongues is? When I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Now, he gives the utterance, but it's you doing the praying. Okay. At that moment, you're understanding. You could write right there, earth head. At that moment, your earth head is unfruitful. Why? He's not talking to earth head. He's talking to the real child of God that's born of him, that's born of that realm, the real you that all things are possible to, the offspring of God. That's why I love how Dave says it. He says, every time you walk in, you just decide you're going to sit down and pray in tongues for a little while. He says, for all practical purposes, what you've done, you've sat down in the classroom. And the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of Truth. That is God himself come to teach you. Watch out, feet. Don't run off. I got to preach. If God is your teacher, I think we should be full of hope. If he's made a way where he can teach you himself, I think we should take advantage of that. What's going to happen for what's been seen rarely shall be seen often, says the Lord. Those things that have come here and there, like smatterings, to the point that the people thought I was picking and choosing. No. It's where I was allowed. But what is coming shall not be a smattering here and there. It shall be rivers of living water that shall sweep nations and continents with the gospel of my son before my return. Glory to God. Man. Woo! Glory to God. Well, I want to get in that flow. I want to be in there. And right now he's reemphasizing again for each of us the gifts of the Spirit. Now that's where it's not going to be just in services, people. He's intending this to happen at Walmart, where you work, at the park, everywhere. Everywhere. It's going to be a revival that's going to sweep the Muslim world, I'm telling you now. It is going to sweep the Buddhist world. It's going to sweep the agnostics and the atheists right into the kingdom of God. Amen. I feel privileged and honored to be a part of it. No matter that the devil keeps throwing hell, well, what do you think he's going to do? But I already read the end of the book. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I thank God who always causes me to triumph through Christ Jesus, my Lord. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Glory. Well, so let's read the gifts here. I know you've been taught on these. Yes, sir. Okay, I'll say it now. Now, these gifts are in the Bible. At the end of this chapter, we are told to covet. Covet, not just covet, but to covet earnestly the best gifts. That's really an unusual pairing of words, because normally in the Bible, we're told not to covet. Thou shalt not covet this, thou shalt not covet that. Here's a rare occasion. God says, you can covet this. Covet it. And not just covet, covet earnestly. Now, Lily's a little older. She's sitting right over there. She doesn't do it like this anymore. But when she was little, what does it mean to covet earnestly? She'd see a little doll, checkout line at Target. Papa, I want that doll. And Papa, I want it really, really bad. Now, to tell me she wants it, that's to covet. But to tell me she wants it really, really bad, that's to earnestly covet. See? It's okay to go to God and say, God, I want these gifts to operate through me. I covet them. I want them really, really bad, God. I remember a minister one time saying, which one is the best gift? And he listened. You could tell he was listening for the answer. And he said, it's the one you need at the moment. That is the best gift right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm preaching good today. Glory to God. All right, let's read these. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. And by the way, the Corinthians split, carnal, divided, and all of that. Chapter 1, you can read it for yourself. Paul plainly says, you come behind in no gift. In fact, they were operating in the gifts so much, they were full of carnality, let's say it a different way. They were full of envy and jealousy. So you got this church, and they're operating in the gifts. So you got this section over here, we got tongues. And this section over here goes, you think you can pray in tongues? I can pray in tongues louder than you can pray in tongues. Well, we got prophecy, and Paul said prophecy's even better. I can out-prophesy you any day of the week. And so here's what's going on. All of this is just pandemonium in the church. But they were operating in the gifts. He never said their gifts were not legitimate, but they were like little kids with toys. God wants us to grow up. Not throw out the gifts like most of the church world has. But to be candidates schooled by the Spirit in the gifts and mature using them as God would have us use them. So he says here in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit, and it's capital S and it should be, is given to only a very few. I have to say it that way to get your attention. Or it's only given to the fivefold. It's given to every man. And you know that's generic. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. You women, it's just as much for you. The manifestation of the Spirit is given, can I say it, to every person? Every person, and what's the purpose? To profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, even as I read these, I don't want to wait till the end. I used to think as I read this that what it meant was like that to Mike, he gives the word of wisdom. And like Mike would always operate in the word of wisdom. That's the one that Mike operates in. And then like to his wife, the word of knowledge. And that's the one she would always operate in. No, if you leave it in context, that is not what he's saying. He's talking about in a church service. In any one service, he might use Mike in a word of wisdom and her in a word of knowledge. But the very next service, he may not use either one of them. And he'll use these two on the front row instead. And the whole purpose of that was so they'd understand that the power is not of them. The power is of God. They were already puffed up. If you want to do an interesting research, search the words puffed up in 1 Corinthians. You'll find it occurs five times. Five times. They were already puffed up. That's the problem. God wasn't trying to puff them up more. So when he says to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, he means in that service. And to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith. And that's the gift of faith. It's different than just normal, your everyday faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the same, self-same Spirit, dividing to every man. There it is again, dividing to how many? Every person severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And we could go on teaching there, but the point of it is my hand doesn't do what my foot does. My ear doesn't do what my eye does. There's different parts in the body, but God's going to use all of the parts together, but it's as the Spirit wills. So over these years, as I go back and I'm reviewing the instructions he gave me way back in 1998 about the gifts of the Spirit, as I remember that, now, see, he had used us some. We can locate some using of the gifts, using us in the gifts, Sue and I, before then. But my goodness, once he trained and taught us how the gifts have flown, we have operated in almost every gift. The one that I know for sure, or as far as I know, I've never operated yet in tongues as a sign for the believer. I have never yet spoken a tongue that turned out to be French or German or a language that I didn't know. That's happened to Dave, I think he said 11 times, something like that. You know, and it may be more, that's just the times that he got a report back, see. But virtually all the other gifts we have operated in at least once, sometimes more than once. Now, I will say this too. It does seem, and you'll find this out through history, that certain ministers do seem to flow in a certain gift. It just seems to be easy for them or something. Like there's a certain minister I'm thinking of right now. He just had it. Everybody knew if you had cancer, he would be a good one to have pray for you. God just used him a lot when it come to cancer. And there's another one I know of when it come to healing. There's others I know of that operated in a word of knowledge all the time. But that doesn't mean that that's just exclusive and that's all they could do. You know, it may be that's just what you get used to. Now, in my case, there's two that seem to be the most common with me is the word of knowledge and interpretation of tongues. I never asked for either one. It was like, well, I did. I asked for all of them. But what I mean is I didn't seek those out. But I hardly ever does the Lord use me to interpret a tongue. But I'll just tell you, on all these years, there's hardly ever been a church service where a tongue was given for interpretation that I did not know what the interpretation was. It's just something. But if you'll read the face-to-face, you'll see why I don't interpret it very often. Because he told me not to. He said that's something that he uses to school the young. What he means is the newbies. The ones that's learning how to flow in this. That's something he wants to give them every opportunity first. And normally, somebody will interpret. Now, there's once in a great while when I will. But that's usually only if nobody else will. But that's you're going to find that happens. Okay, getting back to this now. Yes, sir. Okay. One thing that he told me to say, and I want to say it now so I don't forget. Even while we're studying on the gifts of the Spirit, and how many now are a candidate? Raise your hand or I'm going to give an altar call. I'll just start again. You have to listen to it all again. You know. Okay. Even as we're teaching on this, and I know we're going to be operating in this. I mean, we all, everyone is going to be operating in these things, and I mean a lot. Even as that happens, I'm reminded, he reminded me this morning of something that was said by, and we don't use names anymore because if we use a name of ministers from the past, somebody will get offended and they'll just shut their mind off and quit listening at that point. So, but someone that I hold in the highest regard that I consider next to Dave to be my father, not Michael Muccio, not the guy that led me to the Lord, somebody else. But a minister that was in ministry clear up until his 80s. Is that, you know? And no scandal, never run off with the secretary or no money scandals. During the healing revivals in the 40s. Yeah, and, you know, if we mentioned the names, you'd know them. The great healing revivals. This minister stood up and he says, "My ministry will still be going strong after all of yours has ended." You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And they looked at him like, "Well, how can you say that?" He says, "Because you are building your ministries on the gifts of the Spirit, and I am building my ministry on the Word." That is the truth. Now, your foundation is not the gifts of the Spirit. Your foundation is the Word of God. But on that platform of the Word, there most certainly is the gifts of the Spirit. But don't ever start thinking you don't need the Word and the Word is not... Listen, when the enemy comes, how did Jesus run the enemy off? It is written, it is written, it is written. The Word, that's exactly right. Your foundation is the Word of God. There's lots of ministries I know of. There's one right now, right now in Florida, where the guy has genuine manifestation of gifts of the healing. Tent ministry. You can't deny the miracles. I mean, when he prays, stuff happens. That same guy, at the end of that service, he'll sell you a prophecy for $300. Now, if you think that's God, kindergarten room is right over there. It's not God at all. Never is. Okay? There's a guy building his ministry on the gifts, not the Word. That's the difference. Okay. Hallelujah. Hey, anymore, I just have a good time. It's nice to be free. To not really care a whole lot about what you think. I'm free to listen to God. Yes, sir, I'll go ahead and tell that. How important is it to obey God? To hear and obey God. Last summer, I had an invitation to a church in Ohio. I'd never been there before. And I just tell you the truth, Sue knows, most invitations I turned down. Most of them I don't go to because I don't feel the witness to go. This time I did. I knew instantly when he called. I knew I was going. So then you pray about, you know, I got like 10,000 messages on the inside, you know. Lord, what do you want to do? Well, I knew I was going to have three services. He told me before I got there what three messages I was going to minister. The first one was real nice. See, and I do believe that when you go to another man's church, you don't usurp authority. I do believe that. If you're going to a church where they absolutely believe that women have to wear doilies on their hair because of that, those verses in Corinthians, you know, "Lest a woman be covered." Oh, you don't think I'm kidding? There are churches all over the land like that. All over the land, and I mean legalism, and they got to wear little doilies. You know, if God sends me there, I'm probably not going to preach about taking off the doilies. What I'm saying, not unless God was to say to. I'd probably teach on praying in other tongues, because if I get them praying in other tongues, the Holy Ghost will teach them out of the doilies. See what I'm saying? But my goal is not to come in and just overthrow their apple cart. My goal is to link up with them and help. Well, this going back to last summer, and I really liked this church. I liked all those people. I loved it. But he's telling me what three messages, and I said, "Lord, the first one's going to be nice. They're going to really like that. Lord, those next two, they're not going to invite me back." He said, "I know." I didn't know them well, but I know that area well. And I'm not going to mention the minister's name, but one of the biggest sowing and reaping ministries of all time is right there, right close by. Luke 6:38 places of all time. And I knew this was kind of a satellite. I said, well, Lord, are you sure? And so I had a lot of time to pray about it. He didn't back off a bit. Now, I got to tell you, the people loved it. The ministers, not so much. And sure enough, they didn't invite me back. And I don't care. See, I really don't care. They were nice. They didn't have to be. They were nice, you know, cordial. Hey, nice to meet you. Never going to see you again. Only in heaven will I know exactly what all happened there. How many captives were set free. And the truth that penetrated. Several got filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was good meetings, you know. Got to obey the Holy Ghost. Now, out of all of these gifts, wow, I don't know why he's doing this. Out of all of these gifts, let's go to divers kinds of tongues. How many knows there's, when it says divers, is not really in there, but kinds of tongues. It means different kind of tongues. How many knows there's four diversities of tongues? Four different kinds talked about in the Bible. Now notice here, all of these gifts are as the Spirit wills. Trust me, you can't work the working of miracles because you choose to. Or because you want to. You can't work any of these. They are all as the Spirit wills. And even the diversities of tongues, out of the four diversities, three of those you cannot operate at will. I can't right now just decide I'm going to give a tongue for an interpretation. Some people do. I'm just telling you. I'm not looking at anywhere for any reason. No drummer. Some people do. Anyway. I can't on my own right now decide to start deep intercessional groanings. I have heard it taught. Not just God. God. He loves you and he doesn't care how much I get embarrassed. In the early, early days, we were taught that you could, and I, not Sue, I tried. And he said, oh yeah, you can intercede, you can do deep intercessional groanings anytime you want to. You know what I mean by intercessional? Real. Now, I have had it happen supernaturally. Probably I could count on one hand. Not very many times in my life. But in my life, maybe five times in 30 years, have I really had that where, as the Spirit wills, deep groanings. I mean, it's like, oh, God, you can't. You're hurting so bad you can't articulate. It is a groaning from your deepest part of you. But we were the embarrassing part in the early, early days, for I knew much. One lesson was, you can do that anytime you want to. You ought to have seen me sitting there at the house. Yes, Lord, I am now going to go into deep intercessional groaning. I mean, what was that you said about the Lord being long-suffering? I mean, even angels had to be going, oh, brother, what? God, you're going to use this guy? Are you kidding? Took a while to find out that you can't cause those to come, you know, anytime that you want to. And now Dave has tried this, so I feel better about this one. Dave said he thought in the early days maybe you could do that signs to the unbeliever tongue. You know, maybe you could do that anytime you wanted to, you know. So you're at an airport, an international airport, and there's a German guy right there. Dave tried this too. Notice two. I'm going to give it a shot. There's that German guy. He probably doesn't understand English. Walk up. And the guy, what? Oh, excuse me. I'm practicing another language. I've tried it too. Well, who knew? See, that's Earthhead trying to figure out stuff without being taught by the Holy Ghost, you know. But there is one of those that God gave to us for our own personal edification. That's really up to you. Why? I'm glad you asked. Go over two chapters. See, most people still think that when they're praying in an unknown tongue, it's the Holy Spirit praying. And it's not the Holy Spirit praying. It's not. It tells you right here. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. But my understanding, that's earth head, that's the natural mind, at that moment is unfruitful. And that's why it seems so boring. You don't know what's being said. Sit there for an hour praying in other tongues. That's why I think God, Dave, taught us all to learn how to read your Bible. Pray softly in other tongues. It gives your mind the word, something to meditate on. So it's not so bored. And at the same time, then, the Holy Spirit is praying the understanding of that word to your mind. If you really want to kick in the afterburners, it's going to kick in some fasting, and now you've got to... Now you're praying the perfect will of God. You got your mind focusing on the Word of God. You're fasting, presenting your bodies, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit. Man, you kick in the afterburners now. I've learned more about fasting this last year than I ever knew all the years before. Now, you're just going to have to get the MP3 or whatever it is by now of Wednesday night. Because we went through the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and the working of miracles. By precept and example, I read to you what the Holy Spirit taught me. And then I gave examples from our life, even a working of miracles now. We had one last year when we went to Florida. What was it? Getting Wednesday night's message. I don't have time. We're going to run out of time. But today now, let's get into the rest of them. Is that okay? Let's talk about the gift of prophecy. See, in the early days, Dave teaches in his book and also on his messages that when it says in Jude 20 that you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost, build yourself up. And here in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about edifying yourself. See, look at 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Well, when you edify yourself, that word edify, a modern word that we would use, would be like to charge up a battery. You're building yourself up. Jude said it correctly. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. So in the early days, you don't know really what's going on. You think, well, all I know is I'm getting charged. Dave teaches it like this. He said, I thought, well, I don't know why, but if it says I charge myself up, I'm praying in other tongues, is it like God takes like battery cables and left ear, negative. Right ear, positive. Shandada, shandada, shanda. Build myself up. And I'm charged. Like it's something magical almost, you know. No, it tells you why. It tells you why. Let's start at verse 1 of chapter 14. Because we're talking about prophecy now. Follow after charity, that's love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Well, why? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. How be it in the spirit he speaketh mysteries? Well, now, stop. What mysteries? Well, part of that is the revelation of God's word. Y'all remember how I, When I talk about Sue and I, we were 45 years old the day we first walked through the doors of the prayer center. I was a product of the prosperity message from the 80s. I was a little parrot. I mean, I'm not going to mention names. You know who I'm talking about, the big TV preachers of the 80s. All of the sowing and reaping and the name your seed and the that's my harvest and on and on and on I could go. I was a little parrot, and that's what I knew. So we walk through the doors of this church. Dave starts talking to us about praying in other tongues, that if you pray in other tongues, you're speaking mysteries. And it's not just this. I mean, it's also, you know, your calling in the body of Christ, his plan for your life. But part of those mysteries is the true revelation knowledge of his word. Well, I began to put those in practice in December of 1992. God had me in the perfect job driving those trucks. I said, I'm just going to turn the CB radio off. I'm going to turn the other radio off. And I'm just going to make the cab of this truck my prayer closet. And God had me in the perfect job. Because of that job, I could pray if I just would. And I did. Some weeks 40 hours, some weeks 50, some weeks up to 70 hours a week praying in other tongues. And just exactly what Dave said would happen began to happen. And he did it the same way. How are we taught? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Well, that's the way they had taught me false doctrine through the TV during the 80s. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost began line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept by precept. He began dismantling that, just like you'd tear down a brick wall, one brick at a time. He began tearing it down. Then he began relaying it with truth. That's the true revelation of God. You start understanding, being taught by him. But see, so the first level, as you're praying in other tongues, why are you being edified? Because you're being taught the truth. You're starting to understand mysteries and not some earth-slanted, greedy, weird perversion of God's word. But the true revelation of God's word. And then, let me finish reading here. So, verse 2 again. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speak in mysteries. But now notice, so that's the first level. You're speaking the mysteries, and you're starting to understand mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, in our generation today, when we think of prophesy, we're always thinking of somebody standing up and yeah, in the name of the Lord and prophesying something maybe about the future. And that is genuine prophecy. But in that day, they had no New Testament. In that day, they would pray and somebody would come and explain a mystery that the Holy Ghost had taught them. And that's what he meant by prophesying. They were teaching in the church. So you're first, you are edified because you begin to understand the mystery. But then when you begin to share that with others, prophesy in the church, now the whole church is being edified because they're understanding what the Holy Spirit taught you. You got that? That's why prophecy is better. It's only better because it affects more people at the same time. Okay. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth, he edifies the church. Well, how? Because he's sharing with them the same mysteries that the Holy Spirit first shared with him. Is that good stuff or what? So, all of that, the gift of prophecy now is a little different. That is prophecy that comes through understanding the mysteries, primarily by meditation of the Word and praying in the Spirit. But there is a gift of prophecy that can come on you. I was wishing I was brought one. Maybe I can bring it the next time I preach. One that Sue and I, we treasure, that Smith Wigglesworth prophesied to Lester Summerall back in the 30s, 1939, if I remember right. And in that prophecy, I'll bring it and read it. It's not real long. But in that prophecy, he prophesied it to Lester. He saw several waves of revival. One of them that he saw was what we now call the charismatic renewal. He saw it before it ever happened. The second wave he saw was a wave of teaching of God's word. Teaching, not preaching. Boy, have we seen that for the last several decades. But you know what the last one he saw? The last one that he saw was a revival of the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, this revival will sweep the world and harvest, a great harvest before the coming of the Lord. That's the one we're entering into. Glory to God. So when the Lord was teaching me personally about the gift of prophecy, and again, let me say it, I sometimes almost hesitate to read these because this is how he said he would use us in the gifts. I'm not saying don't put God in a box with this. Mainly why I'm doing it is to encourage you to pray so that the same teacher comes and teaches you how he's going to use you in the gifts. But I don't know what else to share except what I have to share. This is what he told me. So he said, and this is true, even when he said this, he says, you are more familiar with the gift of prophecy than any of the other gifts. You should know and understand that the many revelations you have written are actually the manifestation of the gift of prophecy. As the mysteries of the gospel unfold to your mind, and your mind becomes one with the mind of Christ, and you begin to think as him, then every time you speak and utter one of those revelations, that is prophecy. But I do intend to use you more to manifest the mind of Christ and the mind of the Father and the mind of the Spirit on an individual basis, to assemblies, to give them the present hour speaking, the present hour mind of the Lord to them, that they may hear and understand and take corrective action. Everyone's always happy with you when you bring correction. Did you hear that? Sorry. This gift you will flow in much. This gift is easy for you, and he's right, because of much use in times past. But I am admonishing you to expect greater manifestations of this gift to bring the present hour speaking of the Lord to individual people and to assemblies that are gathered in his name. Now, sometimes he'll do that without ever saying it's prophecy. Sometimes he'll have me speak and deliver a corrective word, to be honest. But he does it. Dave is the ultimate master of this. Dave, I wish I could walk. I'm still following Dave as Dave follows the Lord. Is that okay with you guys? He walks in so much more love than I do, you know. And so in those early days, we'd come to church. They're full of humor and truth and miracles. The services are great. By the way, that lady that you hear snarking on those messages in the 90s, that's Sue. She gets really tickled, you know. She can't help it. You know, it's got... And we needed that. That was part of the healing that we needed at the time. And we'd be laughing and thinking about that service. And Dave delivered a corrective word, but he did it in such love and with such humor that about 3 days later, it dawned on me. I went, hey, hey, he thinks I'm not fasting enough. Or, hey, he thinks this. Or, or hey, he's trying. Thank God. Sometimes, though, you can prophesy like that without making a show of who you are. Yeah, yeah, thus saith the Lord, thou shaltest whatever. But then sometimes he wants that. Okay. Let me say this about prophecy. Normally, the way it works with me, you don't get to hear it first. Boy, it got real quiet. When it's real prophecy, and he is speaking in your known language through your tongue, normally, correct me if I'm wrong, you hear it when they hear it. Isn't that true? Can I get any witnesses around the room, people that's operated in this? You hear it when they hear it. And then sometimes you want to make a break for the exit right after that. I can't believe I said that out. God, did you say that out loud? He said, I said it through you. I know. That's the problem. Now they want us to stone me. Not always. Let's go on to discerning of spirits, okay? You notice one of those gifts is called discerning of spirits? Now, please write this one down if you're making notes at all. I got to tell you what it's not. Discerning of spirits is not the gift of suspicion. It is not the gift of being cynical. Critical. That's a good one. That's not what it is at all. In its purest form, discerning of spirits is exactly that. You literally see into the spirit world. He'll open your eyes. If you remember in the Old Testament, the prophet, he saw the angels with the chariots of fire on the mountaintop. He saw them, he said. He said, open my servant's eyes where he can see them. You remember that? That's discerning of spirits. He said, there be more that be with us than be with them. Well, he said here, in this one, he's talking to me. He said, as I have already told you regarding discerning of spirits, expect this gift to be more finely honed in you day by day. He says, you have operated in this gift more than you have realized, and in Sue, it is very finely tuned. Let me add my amen. And it's not a gift of suspicion. I can tell you stories. She actually saw an angel. Saw one that posted at our bedroom door. We didn't really know why. Said he kind of looked like American Indian. His nose and everything, you know. Tall guy, right? Shorter than the ceiling, though. She saw him. We didn't know why for the longest time there'd be an angel posted at our bedroom. The way our house is made, it's like an L. And there's a double sliding patio door that goes out of our bedroom. And you can't see it from the street. Well, come to find out, when that house was first built, our house was the drug house in the neighborhood. And drugs were sold through that patio door. Because you can't see it from the street. And that's where people would come to get by their drugs. How many of you know that house got saved? The house got saved. And apparently God posted an angel there that's still there, guarding against that. I don't know why. I didn't see him. But now Sue saw him. Now let me finish reading what he said here. We're not going to finish today either. He said, Sue is very finely tuned in that. And he told me, for now, trust this gift in her more than in yourself. She flows in this one quite readily. But both of you shall grow in it as your awareness of my presence to manifest it for you increases. Yes, sir. Now, again, I was just listening today to another minister of God. Hey, y'all remember one or two services ago, I did a teaching about five blind men. Do y'all remember that? Was anybody here? Get it off the... we didn't call it five blind men, I forget, but it's been within the last week or so. And what we were doing is, again, looking at the gifts of the Spirit and how Jesus flowed in the gifts, okay? And we took five different cases where Jesus healed blind people. And no two of them were the same. It's not a formula. You can't come up with, okay, this is how you do it. And you spit and you make clay and you anoint their eyes with clay and you send them to the Arkansas to wash their eyes, you know, or what, or a pool of Siloam. That's how you do it. There's no other way. No, another time he just spit on the guy's eyes. Can you imagine? You're blind. You don't know what's coming. Big loogie running down each eye, you know. Oh, God. Come away seeing. But now, here's the main reason I'm saying this. When it comes to discerning of spirits, this minister, the same one, by the way, that I consider a father. In the early days, there was a case there where they had an insane lady. And this lady had been in the insane asylum for many years. And they brought her for prayer. He didn't know. He's going, God, I know I can lay... Now, he's talking to God on the inside. He's going, I know I can lay hands on her for healing if it's something, you know, like chemically wrong in her brain or something like that, or some kind of disease. But he says, Lord, what if it's a spirit? See, because one of those five guys that we talked about, one of the five, his problem, he was possessed with a devil. Spitting on the eyes normally won't work if it's a devil. Okay? Anyway. See, you got to discern. You've got to know. So he was just saying, Lord, I am helpless. I am helpless in this. Unless you tell me, I don't know what to do. By the way, when you get to that place, Now you're really a candidate for the gifts of the Spirit. How many of you knows you can't heal them? One of the verses we're going to look at, which we're not going to make it today, is we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That we may know that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Amen? So he's going, God, I don't know. And sure enough, by the time that he was just praying, it wasn't until he stood in front of the woman that the Lord said, he told him what to do, and he just said what the Lord said. I have every word exact, but this was the essence of it. I command you, foul spirit, come out of her in Jesus' name. And nothing happened at that moment. Nothing. Y'all remember? Those of you that's been here, I see you silhouetted with an imperfect circle behind you. Nothing. 5 years later, we found out it was God. Put your finger in her mouth, those of you that's been here. Didn't look like nothing happened. Got big healing regarding sores in her mouth. So he commanded that spirit to come out of that lady, and in the natural, she came insane, she left insane. Long story short, he held fast his confession. He says, I know I heard God. I spoke in obedience to God. That woman is healed. I don't care what it looks like. And in short order, she was set in her right mind, never went back to the institution again, and later on was teaching Sunday school, if I remember right, teaching Sunday school in the church. Glory to God. That's discerning of spirits. God has to tell you. It's a gift. Sometimes you'll see those devils. Sometimes he'll just tell you it's a devil. Okay? Let me see now. Right. You shall see into the realm of the spirit, and you shall discern the motivations, the intents, and purposes that are in the hearts of men. The former comes primarily by vision, the latter comes primarily by the inner witness. Sometimes the latter comes by my speaking in your ear. Do not dismiss these things. They are how I manifest the discerning of spirits in your life. Well, let me brag on Sue again for a minute. Sue has this discerning of spirits, and it's not the gift of suspicion. Sue is, if you're around her, she's a very loving, trusting person, okay? I'll finish with this one for today. This one, because I was ignorant of it, and I did not trust the gift in my wife, nearly cost me $70,000. Turn to somebody and say, $70,000. I mean, it sounds bigger when it comes off your lips. Say it again, $70,000, okay? This was quite a long time ago, and the ministry was growing. We didn't have time to do the books. We were traveling, and we hired an accountant lady. Well, first we interviewed her because some friends had recommended her. And they said, this lady, she's used to working with ministry. She has like 30 ministries that she does the books for. Well, that sounds good. So we went, drove down there and interviewed her. I liked the lady just fine, but that's kind of who I am. You know, I just, yeah, they're okay. I like them, you know. And so I was going to hire the lady. You know, she said, yeah, I have 30 churches and some ministries, and I've been doing this for 25 years. She wasn't just some little kid, you know. She had some miles on her. And I like that. I like some experience, you know. And so we're driving away from there, and I fully intend to hire the lady. And Sue says, don't hire her. Now, men, earthhead guys, what is our next question? Why? Every man in the room understands. Every man. Because we're all logic. See, but he gives gifts to our wives. Okay? She couldn't tell me why. She's operating from something God gave her. She says, I can't tell you why. She point right at her belly. And she said, I can't tell you why. I'm just telling you, don't hire that woman. And guys, what's the next thing? Why not? That's right. And yet we start running through the litany of all the natural information Earthhead has acquired. And we're trying to make Earthhead decisions, okay, with logic. Well, I overrode her. I overrode that decision, and we hired the lady. Now, I know people are looking at me like, you idiot. I know that now. I didn't know that then. I've learned since then to appreciate the gifts God's given my wife. Anyway, this lady was not dishonest in any way. She was handling 30 churches, but what I didn't know, she's only handling little small country churches. And with the IRS, once you cross a certain income line on ministry, all the reporting changes. All the forms you have to send in are different. And she had never, ever dealt with a ministry above that line. Well, at a certain point after, I mean, everything rocked along fine for a year or two. But then our ministry crossed that line on the income. And I started getting these nice little notices. I started getting these nice little letters from the IRS. Basically, what's wrong with you? How come you haven't sent in form Zama? How come you haven't sent in form Zama? Well, I called the lady. I say, how come we haven't sent? They want form Zama. Oh, you don't need to send in form Zama. It must be some new clerk. They've got it there. I've been doing this for 25 years. You don't need to do form Zama. Okay. Time goes by. You know, the wheels of bureaucracy don't move real fast. Well, every now and then I'd get another letter about form Zama or form Zama squared. I mean, different forms, you know. And there was always the same. Well, finally, after a few years of that, then I really got a nice letter one day. I think I preached real good that morning. I don't know. Anyway, it was a great day. And I opened up the letter. One page. But, see, I'm trying to get the wording. Based on your non-compliance with regulation XYZ and XYZD, we have assessed fines and penalties. Now, we never owed them a dime in taxes, never. But they started applying penalty and then interest on the penalty. And that's what this letter was. Please remit $72,000 payable now. And I think right at that moment I heard Sue's voice. Don't hire that woman. Long story short, just so you know what happened, I did have to let that woman go. It was still hard for me. I liked her. Still hard for me. And I hired a big firm. I needed somebody to go talk to the IRS for me. And it wound up costing me about $2,000. But this firm knew exactly what to do. They dealt with larger ministries all the time. And it didn't happen overnight. How many letters? It took like 2 years to get that all resolved. And I had to pay this company about $2,000 for the letters that they wrote. But the end result, the IRS, they let it all go. We didn't have to send in. All they really wanted was their forms. Now, what if Gary would have had enough wisdom? Discerning of spirits. Men, God did not give you your wife for no reason. Your wife has gifts that you need. You have gifts that your wife needs. Please respect each other and let's combine forces and give the devil a real black eye. Now, I pay attention. Sue knows I pay attention. Now, I know that still, when it comes right down to it, I have to make the final decision. I know that. But trust me, she knows. She would get up here and I pay attention. I listen. I input all that. And we have not made that kind of mistake that I know of now in a long, long time. But boy, I listen when that woman operates in this. She operates in it. And she... I heard a prophecy recently that you're going to be teaching more, so come on, baby. Just come say that. Just come say it. Yeah, it's today. Come on. Today, if you'll hear his voice. Harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Anyway. I have gifts too, buddy. I got gifts.
Oh, God, thank you so much for loving me with all that. It was so hard on Gary because I couldn't tell him, I couldn't explain why I got those impressions. I didn't know either. You know, we didn't know the Holy Spirit like we do now. And I just knew that I knew, and I would get these... I just called them feelings, you know, for lack of a better understanding at that time in our lives. And then when I couldn't explain to him why, he would get frustrated and get angry at me, and I would end up getting mad at him because he couldn't understand what I was thinking.
How rude.
If he loves me so much, why can't he read my mind? Anyway, so all these years, we've been going through all of these things that we couldn't possibly tell you every bit of it, but I know you guys have been going through your own kind of things where the Lord's tried to get it over to you as quick as he can, and it's just like he's having to pull us as we're dragging our feet, screaming and yelling, and if we could just do it faster. But anyway, I just thought y'all might be interested in my input on this. it's sort of like when I saw the angel and the demonic spirits at different times. See, now I could tell him about those because I saw them, even though it was in the spirit, and I could describe them. Or I could tell him, sometimes I would get words as I met people. Those were easy, see. That angel was taller than the ceiling, and he was made out of light. He was translucent. His head went into the ceiling part, but you could still see it. And I go, how's that happening? You know. But the demonic spirits at different times, you know, you never know. You just don't know. And it's not important. Anyway, it doesn't matter what they look like. As you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and learn that he is trying to teach you every step of the way about everything that happens in your life, you know. But anyway, that's it.
Hallelujah. Thank you. We're going to wrap this up. Say this with me. Say, I am a candidate for the gifts of the Spirit. Spirit manifests the gifts through every person. I just now checked. I am a person. The Holy Spirit manifests the gifts through me. Father, I'm going to be doing my best this whole week to give more attention to the fact that your Spirit is with me. I'm listening, Lord. I will listen, and I will hear, and I will obey. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, you are dismissed now.